the reason why I thought of doing, you know, this being a session is because I actually heard, you know, a really quite inspiring talk by John Wyatt, who came to visit our church, a sort of medical ethicist, who writes a lot about molecular technology society. And I listened to him and I thought, gosh, we really can't let scientists design the future. Because scientists haven't got a clue. You know, and what was very interesting, you know, I reacted very badly to what she said, but that is on reflection. What he was saying is probably a bit better than I thought it was initially. But, you know, it was sort of a totally social science free zone, what he said. You know, and one of the things that annoyed me about what he said was often when scientists talk about the progress of science, it's just something which is going to happen. It's inevitable. We just need to lie down and die while it goes over us. You know, and that is such a pile of rubbish when you look in history. So, anyway, but I also, as part of this, I looked at this book, which I'll just mention, which John actually edited, of the robot, we'll see you now. And John is a medical doctor, and you know, he's got this idea, of course, that it'll revolutionize healthcare because he will have these health doctor, you know, robots that we talk to. And of course, it's already happening in places like Japan with a short labor, and they've got robots helping the older people with dementia. And of course, the robot can be brilliant because the robot never gets tired of repeating itself to the person with dementia, which is great, you know, and if the people can actually have a relationship with the robot. This is a nice edited book, and actually it's got some really nice chapters in it, including quite a good one on the impact of jobs, which I'll talk about. We've already heard something about this, you know, what is AI? And of course, it can be anything from more sensing and more collection of info, just processing the information better. I mean, you know, ChatGPT, at the moment, it's just Google on speed. Yes, it's really interesting, but it's basically a glorified search engine, which sort of writes it out very nicely, but it's fine, and it's capable of answering quite sophisticated search questions. Of course, the sort of nightmare scenario of the robots taking over, and actually, the idea that the AI can move around and do things physically, but a sort of physical embodiment. It's not just the sort of computer being faster. And the things that, you know, scientists begin to worry about are these things like singularity and superintelligence, the point at which, you know, the robot, the computer is more intelligent than the most intelligent person. And even the collective intelligence of everybody who's alive. And both mathematicians and philosophers are sort of worried about that. And Geoffrey Hinton, of course, famously left Google because for some reason he realized that at the end of a long career at Google inventing ChatGPT, there might be an ethical issue with Google at this. Just go, where was this guy educated? You know, I mean, you know, of course there's an ethical issue. You know, I mean, why put a bit late to think about it right at the end of the process, having already invented it. I think it is important to realise that, you know, scientists are operating to a bit of a narrative themselves. You know, there are plenty of people in Silicon Valley who actually think the future is some sci-fi film. They actually think that, you know, that they're working on creating Star Trek or Star Wars, you know. And so there is a little bit of this circularity going, you know, they're inventing the thing that they saw in a movie type of thing. And we need to worry about that. Andy said some of this, but it's important to say that it's only recently, relatively recently, that economists have got worried about this process. Because in general, I certainly still say this, but I'm not saying it less strongly than I used to. You know, technology, we can cope. You know, the economy adjusts. But actually, of course, it's adjusted in interesting ways. You know, people do work less hours than they used to. people do come longer in retirement than they used to. But no, the bigger is better than me. I think one of
except in the US.
Yes.
Yeah. But they still work.
Well, they bought those, they did when they were in the
1950s.
Yeah.
Just introduced the 6-day week.
Yes. But it is the UK, it has fallen quite a lot. But there's something maybe going on recently that it is beginning to come up again. I think the most interesting thing, which I've heard people in the ONS talk about, is actually people spend a lot of time doing unpaid work. And unpaid work, the average number of hours of unpaid work, or something, I think it's Andrew again will correct me, is 21 hours a week. So, so the idea that, this is going to affect our paid work.
But on my calendar for the diocese, it's at least 20
hours. Yeah, exactly. So, and remember in the Bible, there's no distinction between paid and unpaid work. So I think we need to be, as Christians, we need to be careful about the idea that, this is going to revolutionize paid work. Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to revolutionize what we do with our time. I think things to remember as humans prepare interacting with other humans, there'll always be a demand for the live performance, the person to speak to at reception type of thing. The robot won't be able to take over everything. And of course, cost matters. And we've heard mention of, regulation matters. There are plenty of technologies people thought were going to take off, which haven't, because of regulation or because people didn't like them. And autonomous vehicles so far in one of them. My favorite example is, almost the first talk I came to at the judge 25 years ago was by Boeing, where they said by 2020 there will be little runways all over cities, and people will be flying small planes around. Single-person planes, and this is how people will get about in cities. It was pre-9/11. It was obviously done, okay? So people thought that this was this sort of autonomous travel was going to take off, and it hasn't. And similarly, people thought drones would be delivering packages all over cities. They're not. Wake up. It's never going to happen. Lots of good economists have written about this, and actually, surprisingly, Andy mentioned Maynard Keynes. Apparently, David Ricardo also mentioned that machines were taking jobs in 1817. Larry Summers, who was the Treasury Secretary, said, not completely sure that technology won't destroy jobs eventually, even though for years I've said the conventional thing that just moves jobs around. Andy Haldin recently had a lecture where he was sort of re-looking at the Industrial Revolution and saying, actually what did happen in the Industrial Revolution, and I'm not sure we're clear what happened in the Industrial Revolution. He argues that actually was a lot of descaling, and maybe 20% of the working population actually moved from scaled occupations to unskilled ones because of the Industrial Revolution. Now, I'm not sure the statistics are good enough to say that, but it's certainly true, and the population is growing very rapidly as well during this period, but it's certainly true that the Industrial Revolution was very slow burn in terms of raising real wages. That's certainly true. It took a while for it to benefit workers. Okay, so of course, the Bible's got a lot on the theology of work. Work's become hard as a result of the fall. Of course, work and worship, actually, when we're singing in church, that's work as far as God's concerned. Rest is a good thing. I think one interesting thought is we're already controlled by AI. So we think about these scary futures where the robots are telling us what to do. We're already slaves to these things. We check them all the time. So I can hardly talk to my wife in the evening because she's too busy checking her Facebook messages and type of things. And that's been true actually since the invention of the clock, hasn't it? That people be slaves to, what time is it? in the West. So it's not clear that we've had healthy patterns of working up to now, let alone what the impact in the future is. I wrote it as well. I think one of the interesting things about things like robots and sort of very sophisticated AI is, of course, science always presents this from the supply side. You know, this is possible. But hey, who's going to be able to afford these robots? We're all going to be out of work. So who will be paying for to have a robot? I mean, you know, the economics of it doesn't make sense on the supply side, on the demand side. You know, there are lots of technologies which will never take off because only a few rich people will be able to afford them. Therefore, they'll never hit critical mass. They will always be left on the table or be sort of very niche. Okay? And I think that's true of a lot of imaginable AI-inspired inventions. But it's true, you know, there may be disruptions in sectors that haven't had disruption before. We heard about the lawyers. Could it be used for evil? I mean, it's interesting to think about imagined futures, isn't it? In Star Trek, you know, there's no money and there's this machine which perfectly produces everything. It's covered up here. Called a replicator. You know, you just program it and it'll deliver food or clothes or whatever you want. It can't deliver a spaceship, but it can deliver anything you could possibly want as an individual. So, you know, that's a very benign technological future, as opposed to Star Wars, where it's all junk and they're all fighting and they've got Death Stars, destroy everything. It's a really bad vision of a possible future. And then, you know, we've got, you know, Terminator versus, you know, film like Passengers, where, you know, it's the spaceships, but, you know, it's sort of benign in itself and, you know, Chris Pratt is running around trying to save it from, because it's actually damaged, okay? But it's not trying to kill him. You know, it's sort of very benign AI-type future versus Terminator, where the robots really are trying to kill us there. So, you know, okay, it could be evil or it could be good. And I think the final thing I'd want to say is, look, economists don't believe in the free market as being the law of the jungle. We don't believe in the idea of an unregulated market. That's crazy. That's some scientists running the place. So, you know, you don't put Nimrod in charge. You know, Nimrod decided that we're going to build the Tower of Babel because we want to get his technology to get up to God, you know, be like God. And I think often scientists do want to be like God. Okay, you know, but we don't want Nimrod being in charge. And we also need to recognize that we've had this wild west of lack of regulation and technology so far. It's not a huge, the lack of regulation is not a huge amount of damage, as happened with tobacco, big pharma being left to run riot before they were reined in. Even big pharma, that's quite good. You know, and the, so lots of regulation is required. We shouldn't be afraid to ban human cloning. Shouldn't be afraid to ban certain aspects of AI and to concentrate on the easy wins, like, yeah, the AI can analyze all the scan data much more efficiently than a human doctor. And we need to look out for the signs of the times, because I think, you know, there's capacity for a lot of evil there. And, you know, people are going to be concerned about technology. It's going to upset people. And maybe, you know, we heard mentioned that ChatGPT said, you know, you need to worry about evangelism and being able to offer something to people to reassure them that God's still in control, even though scientists tell us the AI is in control now, or about to be in control. And, you know, maybe people will, you know, some people will end up retiring early, doing less work, and they can do more volunteering or human interaction, which would be a good thing, and we can help them that way. Thank you.
So a few points which I think haven't come up yet, which I can help fill in a bit. I'll start with Douglas Adams. So he is mostly known for The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, but he also wrote a series about a character called Dirk Gently. It's Holistic Detective Agency. And right at the beginning of the story there, he talks about there's an alien society which has moved through various states of technology, and they created video recorders that could watch television programs so that people didn't have to bother doing it themselves. And then, eventually they created an electric mug which would do all their religious beliefs, so they didn't have to do that either. And needless to say, things go badly wrong. But I think there's a salutary lesson there, that if there's something important here, then we need to be skeptical and hold these things to account. So AI today tends to mean, as I understand it, large language models. It's about predicting what is likely to come next in a statement. And AI can hallucinate, so I don't know if you're aware of this. So there have been examples where it's completely made up legal cases that never existed, and references to scientific papers which were never a real thing. If you've ever tried chatting to ChatGPT, if you do it for a reasonable length of time, my experience was, anyway, talking about a subject that I know reasonably well, it would say things which were untrue, and I would say, actually, that's not true, and here's why. And it would say, yes, you're right, agree with me, and then we'd carry on for a bit, and then it would go back to repeating the same stage as before. So we need to be very careful about this. I found a verse from Proverbs 17:10. A rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. That seems quite appropriate. The other issue I thought with AI is this question of who trains it, on what, and what are the constraints set on it? So what morality is it given to start with? And there have been several examples of political and racial bias in AI bots or AI chat systems. So the point here really is that we can't just abdicate our responsibility to even a highly intelligent system if one were to exist. If you're familiar with Isaac Asimov's iRobot, the original book, there's is a series of short stories, and the final one, essentially you have an artificial intelligence system running the world called The Machines. And in that, there's some curious behavior happening where certain it's supposed to be trying to optimize to produce the best outcomes for people, and it seems to be doing things, seems to be going wrong. It's making certain companies go out of business, just harming certain people's interests, pushing people out of politics, I believe. And it turns out after an investigation that the people who are being discriminated against have actually formed a society that's skeptical of the AI running the world. And I think, again, there's a danger there that its idea of trying to optimize the world for some greater good that it, in its conception, is actually harming certain people. It sort of occurred to me that if an artificial intelligence had its own view of what's best for the world, then perhaps it might say that someone with anybody who had leprosy would have to be kept apart from people, and that's the exact opposite of Jesus' attitude. So I think to always remember, it's a tool, and it shouldn't be an idol. I won't say too much about the impact of technology. I will just say one thing. My background is in computer science and software development originally. And I think Rolando was saying, was talking of the idea of AI creating software to meet specifications. I think the issue there is that, as Rolando correctly said, the difficulty isn't so much writing the code once you know what you want to do. The issue is actually working out what you want to do. This is usually a very iterative process. And the skill is really in the programming that you do is really helping you to understand the problem as much as it is actually solving it. So I think that it has a lot of potential for improving productivity. I don't think, I'm not convinced that it's something that could ever be just replacement for people. On the economy, I'm very troubled by the idea of Yuval Noah Harari from the World Economic Forum talking about how artificial intelligence is going to lead to a whole group of useless people. He literally says useless people, and he says that his idea of the best thing for them, or he said the best idea anyone's come up with, is to give them drugs and video games to play, and that was really quite shocking to me. So it's completely inconsistent with John 10:10, where Jesus says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Which seems horrendous. And the final point I'll make is AI, I think, has it's a suggestion to contemplate. It's an idea that occurred to me that what AI is doing, it's an emergent system. It's trained on input and generates output. And it occurs to me that we've had something similar to that for as long as human civilization exists. We really have companies, governments, charities, whole societies are actually emergent systems which produce outputs, decisions, ideas based on the inputs from parents, education system, and culture. And with that, it's very important that we, as Christians, make sure that we don't just accept it, even though it can do amazing things. We have a responsibility to bring God's word and understanding Christian principles to the outcome of that those systems. So just to summarize, then, I think AI is another tool for the same sorts of issues as other technology. Wisdom is far more important than intelligence. The being of wisdom is a fear of God.